BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I'm telling you, I barely have time to get a drink of water. I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining. And we don't know what's going to happen next when it comes to realignment. I knew it would be that kind of day. I was warned yesterday that it was going to be a big Monday as it pertained to the Pac-12 and realignment. Just to recap, the Pac-12 conference this morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time presented terms to Memphis, Tulane, and South Florida. The Pac-12 was reluctant to pay very much of the exit fees, in particular for Memphis. Memphis wanted a huge chunk of the exit fees to be paid for. Pac-12 would only guarantee $2.5 million towards the exit fees. Memphis, Tulane, and South Florida rebuffed the offer, say that they're staying in the American for now. Pac-12 pivoted very quickly, offering UNLV and Utah State membership. This all happened about 3:25. Very quickly, Pete Thamel of ESPN reports that UNLV is committed to staying in the Mountain West. Thought that was interesting that there was no mention of Utah State. I then confirmed with a source that Utah State had been offered membership. They are expected to join the Pac-12 conference. I've been told by a source that they would be surprised if Utah State did not sign with the Pac-12. Pretty confident was the retort, but nothing's done until it's done. What happens after that? I'll tell you later in the show because it might happen during the show. I want to take a little break from the insanity. I think it's good to have perspective in life. I started Friday's show by talking about perspective. If you caught Friday's show, you heard me talking about why it's important to leave messages, phone messages. And I talked about a woman who has a former Cal women's basketball player named Lex Helgerson, who after college chased a career as an actress and a singer and a filmmaker. She has made a documentary about her father called Age Group Winner. Helgerson grew up in Portland. The movie is going to be screened for people who want to see it. Cinema 21 in Portland, October 5th. Grab a ticket for that 70-minute documentary film. And the film's about her dad, her relationship with her dad. Her dad is a marathoner and plural who ran in 1980 a marathon every week. The guy ran a marathon every week. It is incredible to think about it and to think about the commitment you have to have and the focus you have to have. And Jay Helgerson, though, is still running marathons. He'll turn 70 in February. He's going to run the Boston Marathon this next year. And his daughter, Lex Helgerson, is joining us now to talk about the movie that she made about her dad. Did I summarize that okay? Did I do okay with that?
Perfectly. Perfectly, John. Thank you.
Tell us why you wanted to make this movie. What was this really about for you?
My dad was the stay-at-home parent when my sisters and I were young. So we had a close relationship and a bond through sports. And becoming an artist, I felt like our bond suffered a bit. And then maturing into adulthood, seeing my parents get older, I realized, you know, they're not going to be around forever. And my dad's really funny, and he's quirky, he's charismatic. He did this unique thing, which, you know, my sisters and I growing up, we just thought, well, that's our dad. But it actually is pretty remarkable that he has run all these marathons and did set this record, world record, in 1980. So filming him just was a way to connect, really. I love movies. I'm an actor, and yeah, it was a means of communicating
Give me an idea of watching somebody you care about, you know, take on a task like running a marathon every week. What is that like?
Well, he did it before I was born, so I didn't witness it firsthand. But what was really cool in making this movie is that I finally got around to editing, beginning to edit in 2021, and had been editing for months and months and months, and my husband and I had just moved back to Portland. And after months of editing and years of working on the film at this point, my dad finally comes to our house, and he's like, with the old Portland recycling bins, the yellow bins, he gives me two of these bins full of photographs, newspaper clippings from 1980. I'd never seen these in my life, nor in the process of making this film. And I was like, Dad, I've been working on this, you know, for 6 years. Where have these been? So that was really moving to receive. I was glad he'd kept everything. I was glad, grateful my mom had done a good job of documenting, and included were also photos from his childhood that I'd never seen before. So that was really, really exciting for the film. Because it shifted my editing process and storytelling process, and it was exciting for me as a daughter and a person. So that was cool.
I am a sentimental person, and I know this because, you know, I like memorabilia, and I also on my phone have all these voicemail messages from people who have passed away, like Bill Shonley, the legendary broadcaster for the Blazers, and Mike Leach, who was a coach, college football coach. And so I keep these voicemails. I don't have the heart to delete them. I can't do it. You used your father's voicemail messages in the film to kind of sew together the movie. I think it was really smart and clever. When did that occur to you?
That, I think it mostly occurred in 2020, like at the height of COVID. I was filing a lot, doing a lot of filing, as one maybe did in 2020. And although I knew I had been saving them, on my phone, because some of them were really funny. Like he can kind of adapt into this Southern drawl. My sister lived in New Orleans for a while. You know, he'd leave funny messages visiting her down there. Or he'd comment on the news or what was happening in sports. He loves sports. And so there were, it's like a history deck in a way. So I just kept saving them. And then filing in 2020, I was like, you know what? These are great. But it was a lot of archival, time getting the voicemails off of my phone, filing them on the computer, and listening, like, what is useful, what helps with the story, what's worthwhile.
We're talking to Lex Helgerson, former Cal women's basketball player who has become a filmmaker. The movie is Age Group Winner. It will air on October 5th at Cinema 21 in Portland. Are there other places people can find the movie, or how does that work? Help educate us on that.
Not yet. I'm in the process of sales and distribution, and right now it's Cinema 21, October 5th.
Oh,
and
I like
after that, to be determined, yeah.
What's that going to be like for you? Because I know you've screened it with friends and family, but will you go and sneak in and watch a live audience receive it for the first time?
I will. We showed it in February. We showed it a couple times at Cinema 21. And so I have seen it with a live audience. And each time I feel like it's been better and better. For me, maybe as a person, maybe I have more distance, or feel more equipped to talk about it. And also coming back from cancer, as you know, I was diagnosed a year ago. So we showed it in the spring, kind of coming back from chemo. And now I'm even more back and wanting to show it with the Portland Marathon. And so I will be there because I like seeing people and talking about it and seeing people's reactions.
Give me an idea, when you were a basketball player at Cal, I mean, it's just such an important and interesting interview because we've been talking about realignment. Cal's now in the ACC. I'm curious to know, like, you know, what those road trips will look like in women's basketball. But what did you get out of that experience playing basketball there?
I'm just shaking my head at the road trips because yeah. It's so far to travel so frequently. I got so much out of my experience playing basketball at Cal. I'm still close with many of my teammates. You're like a family, very much so. And there's nothing like it. It's a job. It's a total commitment. It taught me more about hard work and sacrifice and respect and how working together as a team, the team can accomplish anything. I mean, I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's really true when it's fully functioning, you know, John Wooden style.
And I have to think of that time. Were you entertaining the idea of being an actor, being a filmmaker, being an artist, a singer, musician? Where was your head at that time?
It was leaving the court, I can tell you that. That is the other thing. Like, I have so much respect for athletes, for student athletes especially, because so much is demanded of you. And you have to be – I watch NCAA women's basketball today, and, like, these women are so mature and so confident and, like, knowledgeable of themselves. I was not that at all. And it's really cool to experience as a fan now. 20 years later. So my head and heart, I mean, I loved the game so much growing up but maturing into adulthood, I was ready to experience different parts of the world. Sometimes during practice, I would sing actually, terribly, you know, but it would help get me through. And I wanted to take acting classes in college, but was too afraid. It was not how I saw myself, so it took a little time after college to make that leap.
Lex Helgerson is with us, a former Cal women's basketball player who has made a cool movie about her relationship with her father. It's called Age Group Winner Cinema 21 in Portland on October 5th, if you'd like to see a screening of this movie. What's next for you beyond this? Do you want to be a producer? Do you want to, you know, create other films? I know that you have acted in a variety of settings, but, you know, where's your passion right now?
It's in a couple places. I'm working on my debut album, actually, so that's really exciting. We begin recording October 10th, so I am in pre-production for that and have a great group of musicians I'm playing with here in Portland, and I'm very excited about that. And a feature film I acted in right before my diagnosis last year is going to premiere at a festival in LA next month, and I'll be there for that. It's the LA Femme International Film Festival. The film is called Happy Ending. It was an awesome experience also here in Portland. So I'm excited to act more. I'm excited to make this album and make more films, be them documentaries or feature narrative films.
Well, I want to thank you for this movie, and I want to thank you for doing it, and I want to thank you for talking about it, because I think a lot of parents who are listening to this, myself included, you know, I'm constantly three daughters trying to meet them where they are. They're all different. Their love languages are different. The things they're interested in are different. You know, one of them wants to wrestle around and play Legos. The other one wants to talk to you about her science fair project. You know, they're just different. And I think it's a great example of, you know, I haven't often thought about their experience. And hearing you talk about wanting to connect with your dad, I think is really interesting and affirming for a father of a daughter.
No, that's great. That's great to hear, and it's cool. It's just as important to hear that you can recognize how different your daughters are and your desire and willingness to speak their love languages and connect with them in ways that are meaningful and make them feel seen. That's what matters.
Lex, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you. Good luck with the screening. For people who want to see it, October 5th, Cinema 21 in Portland. And the movie's called Age Group Winner. Thank you, Lex.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye. Good stuff. Different. I told you it'd be different. Steven, I think you needed that. I think you needed a reminder that it's not all about realignment. It's not all about the millions of dollars. Sometimes it's as simple as a daughter trying to connect with her dad, who is a diehard runner, and it's not that different than my daughters who humor me by talking about football or asking me about football or will come and say, you know, who's going to be in the Pac-12, Dad, and have a discussion about it. They seem to roll with it. I think young people, you know, it's just an easier adjustment. Who's in the Pac-12? Who's not in the Pac-12? You know, are they still going to play each other? Okay, that's enough for them. But good stuff from our guest, Lex Helgerson, who people may remember from Jesuit High School in Portland and then also St. Mary's Academy and later UC Berkeley playing women's college basketball. All right, Punch It Audio is coming up. We'll give you the latest. I think Utah State's going to end up in the Pac-12. I don't have it confirmed yet. I do know they have been offered membership and that the Pac-12 is encouraged and confident that Utah State is going to accept membership. I am told the word that was used was confident that Utah State will sign with the Pac-12. They're super committed to growth and investment, and their donors, get this, are willing to pay to get them into the conference. I think that is a big factor in a world where money seems to matter. Leave it here.